Today, as we come to the table,
he said, look, the woman that stood up and sang is just a woman in our church. She doesn't know French. And the woman that gave the interpretation, that's my wife. I know she doesn't know French. And the Jewish lady was so overwhelmed by that sign and that power, she gave her life to Christ right there. See, that's how the gifts are supposed to work. What happened was when the gift was used properly, it drew her in. She was like, wow, your God is real. But when everybody's kind of going nuts and doing everything at once and the whole thing's out of order, people go out the back door and say, never there again, never there again, right? And so what happens, people end up running from the rod. God says, cast it, everybody takes off running. It's a fear of the supernatural. Guys, listen, we have to not be afraid of the supernatural.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit can sometimes be misunderstood and therefore pushed aside, even feared. Take the gift of tongues. It seems crazy to suddenly speak in another language, ones you don't even know, but that's the point. Tongues is for God, not for you. It's a supernatural experience that's an honor to witness or experience, yet many fear it. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will urge you today to not disregard any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, no matter how strange they may seem to you. There just might be something incredible God's wanting to do in your life that you're shutting the door on. Instead, trust God and allow Him to work as He sees fit. Let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Exodus chapter 4 as he continues his message, A Fear of the Supernatural.
Some of you guys might feel like a spiritual Charlie Brown. It's like he can sing and she can do that. And he can do that, and they can do that, and all I got is this rock. But see, here's the good news for the believer. You've got the rock, Jesus Christ. And there's no greater power than you could have. You might think it's something very insignificant. I don't have anything here in my hand much I can do with. You've got the power of the universe working through you in God. But you have to step out. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. You know, just give it to the Lord. It's a stick. God will use it for His glory. And that's exactly what He does here. And notice it becomes a serpent. It's interesting. Why would God make it a serpent? Because Pharaoh, again, wore a serpent as part of his headdress. That was part of the pharaonic outfit. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I like it. Part of the pharaonic. Sounded important, didn't it? Sounds like I've been to school, doesn't it? Pharaonic outfit. And listen, the pharaohs believed they were gods as well. They believed they were gods. So what he's saying is, I'm going to use this stick. I'm going to use this thing to show Pharaoh he's no god. He thinks he's a god. I'm going to show him that I have power over even his serpent that he wears on his head. I can turn a stick into that serpent. He thinks he's a god. I'm going to send you to him and show him that he's not a god. He's just a man and that I'm God. You're going to give him the message. And he's going to not only show Pharaoh he's not a god, he's going to defeat all the gods of Egypt. You know, it's interesting when you watch what Moses does when we get there to the plagues of Egypt. All these plagues were the gods of Egypt. Maybe you didn't realize that. There were different gods of Egypt that he had there. And so God's going to defeat all the gods of Egypt and say, you know what? Your gods are nothing. I'm the true God, and I'm the one that's supposed to be worshipped. So he's going to systematically dismantle the gods of Egypt to show that he alone is God, and there is no other God. And it's also going to convince the Jews, because remember Moses' excuse, they won't believe me. I don't have the authority. When you do that, they'll believe you. I'm going to show them that you have authority because they know that Pharaoh says he's a god. They know that part of Pharaoh's outfit is the serpent and you're going to have this power. The Jews are going to know, your brothers are going to know, I sent you. And even Pharaoh's going to know it. He may fight it at first, but he's going to realize no ordinary man could do this. But again, here's the thing that not only God dismantling Moses' excuses, but when I talked about Moses being afraid of the supernatural, notice the last thing that happened when he threw it down and God supernaturally turned it into a serpent. Notice what happened. He ran from it. It literally means a rapid movement away from something or someone. And he got out of there really quick. Modern translation, dust flying, right? And I understand that, again, because this would have freaked him out. And no doubt this was probably a cobra. That was kind of the main serpent, if you will. A viper here is what it's talking about. But again, I find this extremely interesting in God calling Moses to the ministry. Because now he begins to show Moses, Moses, if you're going to be used effectively for me, you're going to have to believe in the supernatural, number one, and then you're going to have to see the supernatural and let me work through you in the supernatural and not freak out. You know, don't get scared of it. Don't think that somehow you did it. There's going to be supernatural things you're going to see, and I'm going to show it to you. But again, I find it interesting because, again, many today, when God calls them and reveals the supernatural to them in the ministry, oftentimes the first reaction is to run. And even sometimes, some of you maybe, when God began to reveal the supernatural to you, and maybe God's going to reveal the supernatural to some of you tonight, and your initial response is going to be like Moses, to run. What do I mean? The supernatural part of the gifts, what God gives to do the ministry. The gifts are supernatural. They are God's tools to do the ministry. And still today, there are a lot of people that are afraid of the gifts. You know, God shows them the supernatural gifts, just like he's doing to Moses. And what do? They freak out and they run. Oh, that's too weird for me, man. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, you let somebody else or whatever. Listen, if you are afraid of the spiritual gifts and the supernatural in your life, yes, you can be saved, but you'll never be used in any power in the kingdom, ever. Because that is God's economy. If God is going to use you, he's got to use the supernatural in power to use you in power. And some reject, they don't recognize the power, they don't recognize the spiritual gifts. Some outright reject it and say that they don't even exist anymore. And this is tragic to me. Because here God is giving us these spiritual gifts and the supernatural ability to operate in these gifts. And we've got people so afraid of it, like Moses, that they take off running. They fear the supernatural. And God's got to say, Moses, come on back. Come back. Don't be afraid of it. There's nothing to be afraid of here. You're going to find out that I did this. I'm in control of it. And you're going to realize that I'm going to give you the ability to use it in the ministry. And what an important aspect this is for us when it comes to serving the Lord. Because God not only wants to fill us with his spirit, he wants to use his power in our lives and not have us to be afraid of it or run from it. Oh, that's not for today. Oh, that's not the Lord or whatever it might be. I've had people even say that the gifts of the spirit are a serpent. Satan's behind it. The serpent's behind it. It's interesting. God used a serpent as an example here to show that it was him. But the serpent, you know, this kind of thing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, you know what? If you ask for a piece of bread or fish, is God going to give you a scorpion or a serpent? He said, no. He said, how much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit? Is God going to give you his spirit? God didn't play games with us. We fall before the Lord and say, God, I want your power. I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the gifts of the Spirit. I want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want to run from the supernatural the way that Moses did. And to Moses' credit, he came back. Why do some people run from the supernatural gifts? I think there's several reasons, and I jotted some of them down because I wanted you to kind of be able to quantify them in your brain. First of all, I think a lack of understanding about what the Bible teaches concerning the gifts. A lot of people don't look at the gifts in Scripture because it scares them. You know, they see the supernatural, like Moses, they take off running without even knowing what's going on. Without saying, God, what does this mean? What do I do with this? I mean, I'm speaking in a language I don't understand. I mean, that's something I'm afraid to come back to. I don't know what happened there. Just trust me, relax. Don't freak out on me. This is me. I'm showing you my power, and I'm going to use that as well as many other gifts that I'm going to give you. A second thing, I think, is a fear of the unknown. A lot of people, because they don't understand the gifts, they get scared of them. A third reason, I think, concerns what others might think. You know, I don't want somebody to think that I'm a holy roller, you know, a fanatic or this kind of thing. So we steer away from it because we think that we'll look foolish or something. But I think the last and probably the biggest reason is an observation of how some abuse the gifts. You know, when you see people abusing something, it makes you think, you know, that it's something you want to stay away from. But just because somebody's abusing something does not mean that it's bad. You know, somebody comes and gives you a brand new car, that's a great gift, isn't it? And it's got a lot of power under the hood. Let's say it's a sports car and it's all souped up and they give you the car. Whoa, this is great. I mean, this thing has a lot of power. But you see somebody else with the same car running over people. And they're running over them and just like squashing them with it. You're like, whoa, I want nothing to do with that car, man, because I see how that's used and that's not right. Wait, that's not even logical. But people do that because they see people abusing the gifts and the use of the gifts, and therefore they run in fear, just like Moses did. And what God has got to teach Moses, look, it's not the gifts that are bad, it's how people are using them. That's why Paul spent multiple chapters in 1 Corinthians talking about the gifts and the way the gifts are to be used and the proper organization of the gifts. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the main reasons Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, because the Corinthians, man, they were a spirit-filled church. They were the kind of church, they were spirit-filled, they were on fire. The problem is they lacked teaching. So they had a lot of the Spirit, very little teaching. And whenever you have a lot of the Spirit and very little teaching, you typically have a congregation that's out of order. the abuse of the gift starts to happen. Rather than taking the gift and using it the way it was intended to be used, as God laid out in Scripture, it starts becoming something that's abusive and something that's, you know, people look at and go, you guys must be crazy. You know, Paul says in one time, he said, look, if people walk in and see all the gifts operating at one time and there's no order, he said, they're going to think you're a nut. They're going to think you're crazy. And how many churches have we heard that do that? You guys have maybe you've been in one before. And I look at it and I go, you know what? No wonder people don't want anything to do with this, because if I didn't know what the Bible said and didn't realize they were simply using the gift the wrong way, I wouldn't want anything to do with it either. But when you see how the gifts are used properly, it's beautiful. It's powerful. And it changes lives and leads people to Christ. And if you want to know whether or not a gift is being used the right way, here's your litmus test. Is it drawing people to the Lord or pushing them away? If people are running from it, like Moses freaking out and running, it's being used the wrong way. Now, I'm not saying God was using it the wrong way there. God was exposing the spiritual gifts to Moses. But Moses, it was his first exposure. He just kind of was shocked. He'd never seen that kind of thing before. But if you're seeing a church where people are being driven away, the gifts are being used the wrong way. If you're seeing a place where the gifts are being used and people are being drawn in, then it's a good thing. And so Paul writes the 1 Corinthians again, 12, 13, and 14, to tell them how to properly use them and how not to improperly use them. And we should never deny or put away the gifts. We just need to understand them. And so this is a huge lesson for Moses. He's going to have to really believe in the supernatural and understand that God works in supernatural ways, or God can't use him for what he's going to do. So Moses runs from it. Notice then the Lord said to Moses, now reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now that's not exactly the best place to grab a poisonous snake, because the mouth's on the other end. And if you've ever seen these guys pick them up, they swing around. And I remember seeing, I saw a video not too long ago, some guy picking up a snake, you know, on the wrong end, swinging around and biting him. And the whole thing to the hospital, the antivenom and all that kind of stuff. So now God says, Moses, look, not only do I not want you to be afraid of the supernatural that I'm doing here, I want you to trust me enough to go to what would scare you the most, grab a hold of it, and watch what I do. What would scare you the most? Some of you guys, what would scare you the most about the spiritual gifts? I'd probably say if you were to pray tonight for a gift of prophecy, that wouldn't scare you. You'd like that. Or if you were to pray tonight for maybe a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, that wouldn't scare you. But if I said, you know, some of you need to pray for the gift of tongues tonight. Ooh, the serpent. Whoa, right? You're going to be like Moses and dirt's going to be flying and rocks hitting, you know, as you run off. God said, whoa, 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 back up. I want you to trust me enough to grab the thing that scares you the most and trust me. Say, God, I want the gift. Now, God may not give you that gift. He may not give you a gift of word of knowledge. He may not give you a gift of wisdom. He may not give you... The Bible says in chapter 11 that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he wills. It's up to him. We don't all have the same gifts. Not everybody receives tongues. Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians. Not everyone receives every gift. Whatever gift God has for you, though, you want to be open to receive and not be afraid of it. And so he says, I want you to grab it by the tail. You know, don't be afraid of it. He said he reached out his hand, he caught it, and he obeyed God, notice, and it became a rod in his hand. It was very safe. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm controlling this. I'm in control of this. Moses, relax. And notice he said, you need to do this that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. In other words, the reason I want you to use the supernatural gifts is because I want them to be able to believe that it's me. I mean, what sets us apart from the world? You know what sets us apart from the world? Not only living a righteous life, but power. As a believer, you have power to say no to sin. The world doesn't have that power. And when they see the power in you and the difference in you, then they're drawn to that. And so understand, God wants to show that power through you. He wants to show that God could use that. But again, this whole thing of the control, also notice this. He said, don't worry, if I give you the gifts, you're going to be able to control it. Grab it by the tail. Don't be afraid. You'll see it turn back to a rod. You can control this, Moses. When you want to use that gift, cast it down. And he's going to do that in front of Pharaoh here before too long. When you don't want to use that gift, take it up. And that's another misconception about the gifts of the Spirit. Some people believe if you pray for the gifts that somehow God's going to take you over and you're going to do things that are out of your control and something's going to happen that's going to embarrass you. It's not how the gifts work. As a matter of fact, Paul, in his instruction to the Corinthians again, said, you know what? The person using the gift has control over it, Paul said. So somebody says, well, I had no control. I just, you know, there it was and it just started happening and whatever it was. No, that's not true. You got emotional. You have control over it. God's given you control over it. You can use it when you want. You can not use it when you want. And then trust in the Lord to, you know, anoint it in power or do whatever he's going to do. So the purpose of the gifts is multifold. This is not really necessarily a teaching on the gifts tonight. But one of the purposes here that he points out is that they may believe in the Lord God of their fathers. One of the reasons for the gifts is that people might believe. Again, one of my favorite stories, I've shared it with you guys, Pastor Chuck at Afterglow. There was this woman stood up and sang in another language, and another woman stood up and gave the interpretation. When the Afterglow was over, this woman, this Jewish woman from France came forward, and she was trained in French, and she said, look, I came to your service tonight. I'm a Jew. I'm not really a believer in Jesus and all that, but I find your service interesting, and the people here are nice and all. But what happened in that little thing you did at the end where the woman stood up and sang in French? She said, I know French very well. And she stood up and sang these praises to God in French. And this other woman stood up and she gave, you know, said the words that she said. You know, what was the meaning of all that? I don't get it. And Chuck said he realized at that moment, he didn't even know really, he knew it was French. You could tell by the, you know, the accent and all that. You know, no, it wasn't that way. But, you know, I'm sure it wasn't that way. If it was from God to God, it wasn't that way. But the bottom line is, you know, he said, look, the woman that stood up and sang is just a woman in our church. She doesn't know French. And the woman that gave the interpretation, that's my wife. I know she doesn't know French. And the Jewish lady was so overwhelmed by that sign and that power, she gave her life to Christ right there. See, that's how the gifts are supposed to work. What happened was when the gift was used properly, it drew her in. She was like, wow, your God is real. But when everybody's kind of going nuts and doing everything at once and the whole thing's out of order, people go out the back door and say, never there again, never there again, right? And so what happens? People end up running from the rod. God says, cast it. Everybody takes off running. It's a fear of the supernatural. Guys, listen, we have to not be afraid of the supernatural. We've got to trust in God to use the supernatural in our life. Because if you don't let God use the supernatural in your life, God can never use you in great ways. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and I'm going to share a little something with you, and then we're going to get to the end because I want some time here to pray at the end. I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask God to baptize you in His Spirit and to take the rod by the tail. Don't be afraid. Say, God, I'm open to everything, whatever you have for me. The enemy can't come in. God's not going to let the enemy come in and do something to you. You're His child. He loves you. He's not going to, you ask for a fish, He's not going to give you a serpent. He's the Lord, all right? But I remember when I first came to the Lord, I had the advantage of not coming. Now, this may sound funny. I say I had the advantage of not coming to the Lord in church. I was by myself in an apartment, by myself. I wasn't going to church anywhere at the time. Long story short, my life had been a mess. I fell down before the Lord and said, I need to know you. And I gave my life to the Lord, and He introduced Himself to me in a powerful, powerful way at that moment. And God came upon me, and God gave me different gifts of the Spirit. And I remember those gifts. It was funny because it wasn't a matter of somebody telling me, now, there's a thing called the gifts of the Spirit. You need to believe in it. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to put my hand here, and I'm going to do that, and all this is going to happen. You can have hands laid on you and receive the gift, but I mean, I'm living proof you don't have to. Because I was by myself, and God just did it. And so I remember having this happen. I was going, wow, this is amazing, these things that are happening. You know, I'm speaking in another language that I don't know, and I don't know what I'm saying, but I there's a cadence to it. It's very orderly. There's these other gifts that are operating that I noticed God was doing. Suddenly, I felt like I would share the word with people, and they were understanding it. God had given me a gift of teaching and all these different, whatever gifts God has given you, and I was beginning to watch them operate. I never forget the first time I ran into somebody that had been to school and was to teach me how the gifts weren't for today. And I was like, you're too late. I said, you should have called me before God gave them to me because I might have believed you. But I was just innocent enough and young enough in the Lord to say, whatever you have for me, I want. And God came upon me in power and gave me all these different gifts. I don't think you have a chance of talking me out of it. Now, do I understand them? No, because I'm a baby Christian. I was sharing with this person. I'm young in the Lord and I don't understand everything. I said, but for you to sit here and tell me that what happened to me didn't happen, nobody talked me into it. God just did it. And you certainly can't talk me out of something God just did. I'm not fighting with theologies. I'm not fighting with different schools of doctrine. I simply gave my life to Christ. This happened to me, and here I am. And he was kind of like, you know, you could tell he was kind of befuddled. Like, well, how do I argue him out of this one, you know? You know, well, I know they're not for today. I'm like, well, you can say what you want, but I'm going to continue operating in them. And you should ask God for them as well. And some of you tonight, as we finish, I want to do this. I want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. For God to give you the gifts, for God to come upon you and anoint you, whatever gift He has. Again, you're not going to receive every gift. If there's a specific gift you want, I think you should pray for it. When I first learned about the gifts, I would start praying for specific gifts that I wanted. And you know what I want more than anything now? I would trade every gift that God's given me for love. Because Paul says, and I understand that now. Paul says when he's describing to the Corinthians about the gifts, because they were abusing them and they didn't understand them and they were being used the wrong way and people were being driven away from God's power. And he said, you know what, look. You've got all these gifts, he said, but without love, they're useless. He said, you can do everything you want, but if you're not loving people, you're not only going to scare them off, there's not going to be any use for what you're doing here. And he said, look, Pray for the best gifts. It seems like for some reason everybody focuses in on tongues because that's the one that seems the most intriguing to people or the one that people want to reject the most. But that actually is way down the list of the gifts. Have you noticed? It's like toward the bottom of the list when you read the gifts. I'm not saying it's not a used and important gift, but it's down the line of the gifts. Paul says, pray for prophecy because then everybody can be edified. Pray for a teaching gift because then you can feed God's people. These are the more important gifts. But then he goes on and says, more than that, he said, there's a more excellent way. Here's all the gifts. You need to pray for them. I want you to understand them, but yet I will show you a more excellent way. And then guess what he goes right into? He goes into chapter 13, which is what? The love chapter. And when you look at the gifts, what God has done, he's made this beautiful love sandwich. You've got chapter 12, which talks about the gifts. You've got 13, the meat of it, saying, here's what really makes them work. It's got to be love, or you're just a noisemaker. Who cares what you can do? Nobody's impressed. You got to love them. And then he puts the other side of the sandwich on, chapter 14, and talks more about the gifts and the way you're not supposed to use them to drive people off. And you've got this wonderful love sandwich with these two chapters holding it and that big, juicy chunk of love right in the middle. Isn't that great the way God's done that? I love it. So if there's anything else more of what you I want you to pray for tonight, pray for love. If you don't get any other gift, love. Be a person of love, because that's really what matters, you know. Loving each other is everything. That's what it's about. But when you do this, you know, Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power, and you'll be my witnesses, he said, in Jerusalem, which was right there, Judea and Samaria, the surrounding area, and then the outermost parts of the world, which, again, Alan, the ELC, and all those guys are going to tomorrow. They're going to be going to the outermost parts of the world. He says, the bottom line is, if you receive power, you're going to be a witness here and everywhere you go. But if you don't receive power, you're not going to be. Matter of fact, he told his disciples. Here they had just finished the best possible training in the world. They traveled with Jesus for over 3 years. And he says, don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Because you're never going to be useful to me until you receive power. So here's what I'm going to challenge you tonight. If you want to receive power, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Mark, I don't understand that. All it means is the Bible says that God will come upon you, just like a baptism in water, but with the Spirit. He will baptize you in the Spirit and immerse you in his power. God will give you supernatural gifts. As you begin to live life, he'll begin to reveal what those gifts are. There'll be different gifts for each of us, but all the gifts make up the body working together as one. We don't all have the same gifts. We wouldn't need each other if we did. But I want you to pray tonight, if you want, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to receive the gifts. Now, I'm going to do a second group of you as well. Because some of you in this room have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've had God's power come upon you, but you're feeling really dry. You're feeling really empty. You haven't seen God use you in power in a long time. I want you to pray for God to refresh you, to fill you anew. Because, you know, again, it says in Ephesians 5:18, continue to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when you read it, it'll just say, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. But in the Greek there, in the language, what it means is be continually being filled. And what that means is that when we walk in the power of the Lord, we use the Spirit God has given us. I don't understand how that works because the Spirit is a person. He's not an essence. He's a person. But when we use his power, we need to be refilled in that power. Remember when Jesus was walking and the woman grabbed his robe, what did he say? He said, I felt power go out of me. And so the Lord would have to go back and seek the Lord every day and say, I need your power today. And I pray every day when I get up, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I think that's a prayer we all need to be praying. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plot line for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table link. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.